So I think, I'll tell you a little bit of a story to get this started. A few years ago, I was camping with some friends, and I don't know if you've done this before. We were cooking bacon over the campfire. And one of the things, if you're doing that, is there's grease, which you've cooked bacon on the stove, grease splatters, right? But grease is pretty flammable, okay? So if you're cooking bacon over a cast iron and you kind of stoke the fire a little bit, flames start getting up, it's reason for concern. Like you need to really think about what's going on and think about what's happening. And I remember at one point, we were doing it, our wood was a little bit wet, we're cooking bacon over this fire, and a friend throws another log in, and I'm just going, hey man, why did you just do that? Like, have you not ever done this before? It's like, it'll smoke, it'll be fine. Well, typically, like, wet wood will smoke until it's dry, and then all of a sudden, it's just like, whoosh, and that sound of flame. And so that's what's happening. We're sitting around this campfire, and this wood catches, and immediately there's flames going over this pan. And just out of the blue, like, I was forced to react in that moment, and because I was forced to react, I just grabbed the pan. It hurt. It hurt really bad. And the crazy thing was, like, I had a welding glove just a few feet from me because I'd been moving it in the fire and all that stuff. But just in the midst of that reaction time, in the midst of this flame going up and me going, man, I have to react to this. I have to do something about this. It just caused me to react, and it's kind of this gut instinct. And really, what would have been good is if I would have just thought about for a second, like paused and slowed down for a second and thought about, okay, how should I react before I just grabbed? Like, it's good to have some reaction sometimes. We have to react a lot of times, but there's times in our life where we're in this moment where we're just forced to react. Like, we're in this kind of life is going on, things happen. You probably have a story too. It's like somebody juts out in traffic or whatever happens. Like, there's a moment where you have to react. And in the split second before, I think it's good, or it is better if, like me, you would think, okay, grab the glove first. And like, just to be honest, I only did that one time. Like I said this week, man, I may be ignorant, but I'm not a dummy. So like, I'm not gonna do something like that twice. But here's the deal, like in this moment that you're living in right now, that we're all living in right now, we've been forced to react. Like something has happened and boom, there's a split second thing. And now this seems sudden and this seems like a shock and you're forced to react and you're wanting to grab the bacon pan. But I'm just wanting to stop you for a second this morning and just go, okay, hold on. Let's process how we need to react here. Let's process how we need to go about this point here, because let's be honest. And I think just with all the things we've prayed this morning and hurricane and in the midst of a storm, like that wording just comes up. Like we're in the midst of this kind of spiritual storm, emotional storm, mental storm. And in this moment, we've been forced to react. And if you're reading in the Bible, as I'm reading, one of my favorite disciples or followers of Jesus to follow is a guy by the name of Peter. And I love Peter because Peter is typically, I feel like, a little bit like me. Maybe it doesn't look like it from the outside, but in these moments, like, I'm pretty quick to, like, have thoughts come in. And a lot of the times, like, I've had a lot of times in the past where it's like, man, I got to just put my foot in my mouth because I said something before I thought about it. Like, that's Peter. Okay, and so I see myself a lot in who he is, and I see myself kind of in this story, but where he goes in Matthew 14, I want to talk about the story about Peter. And so if you got your Bible, you can turn there. It's the first book of the New Testament. Matthew is the book of Matthew. If you don't have a Bible, we'd love to give you one. You can stop by and get one at the Welcome Center. But before we get into this story, I just want to set up a little bit of where we're going here. So what's happening right before this is Jesus has just fed 5,000 men and their families. Thousands of people, probably more than 5,000, but 5,000 men and their families with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. It's a miraculous story. It's the only story, miracle, actually, that's told in all 4 gospels or stories of Jesus' life in the Bible. It's a big deal. Like, Jesus has just fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and some fish. And there's more to spare. It's this amazing miracle. And as these disciples are watching this would have been something that they would have had a hard time grasping, like how and why and what and all of this. But nonetheless, Jesus does this miracle. And so at this moment, it's getting closer to dark, and they kind of start talking about sending the people away. The disciples get into a boat, and they go out onto the lake. Jesus says, hey, just hold on a second. Y'all go ahead and go. I'll catch up with you in a little bit. Well, they kind of get in the boat, and I'm sure they're just kind of waiting, like, come on, Jesus. Do you ever do that and wait on your significant other? I'm not going to say wives, because sometimes it's husbands. Like, most of the time, that's me. Like, I'm the one that's waiting on. It's like, Kelsey's ready to go. She's like, well, what? And the deal is, like, I do something. I'm ready, like, 45 minutes before. And then it's like, oh, I can do that, too. And then I get behind, right? But, like, at this point where they're just kind of waiting and they're going, okay, Jesus, come on. Where are you at? Like, let's go here. Well, there's a storm that starts to pick up. The winds start pushing them out. And they get out in the middle of this lake. This storm is rolling. There's waves. There's wind. There's all of this stuff happening. And I'm sure it was a little bit of a freak out moment for them because, you know, they're out in the middle of the lake in this storm and there's waves and wind and probably lightning and all this stuff happening. And that's where we're going to pick up. So Matthew verse 14, or chapter 14, verse 25, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. And so just for a second, I want you to just kind of stop and picture this situation in your head. Like, the waves had started. It's in the midst of this storm and just kind of out of the middle of nowhere, like probably with lightning around his head and all of these other stuff. Like, just here pops Jesus. And it's like, man, what in the world? Like, this is a ghost. You know, I think this moment of just kind of like sudden shock of probably seeing him and their reaction as we read this is kind of just a crazy deal. It was funny, a couple weeks ago or last week, I was fishing with my son. We were in a boat and there were some gator gar around. We were kind of trying to throw at them and catch one of them. And they're 2 or 3 feet, but they were coming up and popping the water. And he's kind of leaning over the boat looking, and all of a sudden one comes up and just pops up. And his reaction, he fell back in the boat. And I think that's probably the reaction that these disciples had. Like, in the midst of this storm, in the midst of all the stuff that was going through their head, they had just witnessed this amazing miracle. They had seen all this, and now there's kind of shock of like, well, Jesus left us, now we're in the midst of a storm. Like, what is going on here? And in the midst of that storm, in the midst of what they were experiencing, it caused them to change how they processed what was in front of them. And that's what storms can do. Storms can shock us in that sense and cause us to change how we see things in front of us. It causes us to change how we process things and what's going on. And I want to just tell you that this morning, that's okay and normal. Like, I think a lot of times I read these stories and I go, man, that's kind of crazy. Like, why would they say it's a ghost? They knew him. I mean, it was Jesus. This was a guy they'd followed around for a while. Like, and they had seen him perform miracles. So, like, why did they just think, like, oh, well, this is it? Well, first of all, they were human. But then in the same way, the storm in there that they were going through in the midst of all of that caused them to process things differently. And so I just want to tell you this morning, as you think about this and hear this news, give yourself time to process what you feel, regardless of how crazy it may seem. I think we can look at the disciples and go, man, that's crazy. Why would they think that's a ghost? Well, there's a lot of reasons, but in this moment, like with us right now, we are in the midst of a storm. We're in the midst of a storm, physically or mentally, spiritually, emotionally. Maybe you have other storms in your life right now, and you needed to hear this for that reason. And the deal is, too, and the thing with grief, because this is a loss, the thing, it feels like a loss, it's something that's sad, like it's okay to grieve this, but with grief, a lot of times we can process that differently. And so I just want to tell you this week, or maybe it takes a few weeks, maybe it takes a few months, but give yourself time to process what you feel. Before you grab that baking pan, just stop and give yourself a little bit of time to think through some things, to process how you feel. Maybe write that down. But also, listen for Jesus' voice through the storm. And I love this in Matthew 14, verse 27 through 29. Jesus is talking to them. He says, but Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. So in the midst of the wind and the waves, they're hearing Jesus' voice. Peter responds, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. And then verse 29, come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. Man, I think when we think about this, like, this is a crazy deal. And I love this exchange between Peter and Jesus here. Like, I can see myself in it. I can see myself in it this week. Because in the midst of the storm, this has been tough. This has been saddening. I'm a lot more emotional than I typically am on Sunday mornings. It's been a hard week. Like, I really wanted this church in this town for my neighbors. So it feels like a loss. It feels tough. And I found my conversations with God this week looking a little bit like what we see here in this exchange with Peter and Jesus as he's walking out on the water going, Lord, is it you? I'm really struggling here. What's going on? What's happening? In this moment, it's hard to kind of wrap your mind around reality. It's hard to wrap your mind around and believe that Jesus is here and he's speaking at times. But Peter not only listens to Jesus' voice in this moment, he's hearing it, he's listening for it. And in the moment, he steps out on the water and he trusts. And so as you walk through this process, I would urge you to listen for and trust in Jesus' voice. Even in the chaos of the moment, even in the hard times or the emotions that you're feeling, even in the things that you're at, where you're at, even in the chaos, it's still there. You just have to listen and trust. And I want to clarify a little bit because of the point I made just before this. Like, you need to take time to process this. And so this doesn't have to happen this week. You don't have to get there this week, and that's okay if you're not. It's okay if it takes a few months or weeks. Some of you may be there already. As we process things, we'll do it differently, but that's okay. But at some point, you have to get back to listening for and trusting in Jesus' voice in the storm. And typically this happens with Peter in stories we see. It's like he does something right, and then like in the midst of it, it's like, oh, Peter. You know, it's kind of like the foot in the mouth moment, or like he jumped out too fast moment. What happens next in verse 30? But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. So what happens? Peter steps out. He's standing on water with Jesus. It's a crazy deal. Like, I can't even imagine that. I'm a big dude, so I sink fast. Like, I can't picture that, right? But Jesus is floating on the water with Jesus, and in the midst of it, he sees the wind. He was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? So where does Peter get pretty quickly after this? After seeing this miracle that Jesus performs, feeding the 5,000 in this moment of just a really high moment, probably for the disciples, and a crazy moment of something that they had seen, Peter's sinking because he lost focus. Why? And what did he lose focus on? Like I shared earlier, this is the part where the bacon is about to be on fire and you're trying to grab in. In the moment, he sees the wind. He was afraid and beginning to sink. He calls out to Jesus, Lord, save me. Here's the deal. He saw the wind and the waves around him. Peter saw the wind and the waves around him. And we are still in the midst of the storm. And that's understandable and normal, the feelings that you have right now, where you're processing that. But the thing I think I want to caution us of is this is exactly where Satan wants us to be. He wants us to see the wind. He wants us to see and feel the sadness that we feel, the loss that we feel, the other things that you may feel. Maybe you feel guilt or doubt or anger or frustration. That's the wind. And so in this moment, man, before we react to this situation that's been in front of us that we have to react to, man, I would just encourage you to process what is going on, to listen for Jesus' voice, and to look beyond the wind. To look beyond the wind. Why? I love how this wraps up. Verse 32, when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Where we're at right now, this wind will die down. It will. The feelings, the raw emotion of this will die down. At some point, it's going to die down. And we're going to find more reasons to worship Jesus. Greg mentioned, man, we still have plans for this. I still love this community. I still want to see people step over the line of faith here. And I love what it says and how it finishes in verse 34. To the end. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret, and when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all their surrounding county. People brought, or country, not county, going East Texas or like our current moment there. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just to touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. What happens here? There's recognition of who Jesus was. There was recognition of what he could do, but there was also a realization that, hey, there's still sick people around that need him. There's still sick people around here that need the gospel. There's still people here. We still need to know that what Jesus is doing and what God has done here is something that he still can do. But how do we look to see, or how do we refocus in the midst of this storm to see who Jesus is and what he's done? And I think it's just that. Like in the moment of me processing all of the things that were going on, I began to see more and more and more of what Jesus had done here. Like the next steps I talked about earlier that I've seen taken, the life change that I've seen happen right in front of my eyes, those things were the things that I began to think about. And that was where in this moment of this week and kind of the course of this week, I had this Peter moment where I just began to realize, no, 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 God, you are still there. Lord, you are still in control. And yes, there are still sick people here. You and I both need this as we process this. And so as we process what's going on, we process what's happening, as we process all of the things that are coming about this week, I think it's just so appropriate that we take a look back at what Jesus has done. So on this table at the back, I want all of you to grab those cards, and this is your kind of assignment this week. Again, you still don't have to be all the way good when we come back next week. I'm not saying that. But I think it's so good in the midst of the storm for us to stop. And before we grab that pen, to stop and look and think back on what Jesus has done. And so I want you to take those cards. There's cards that they're divided up into two sections. One says things or next steps that I have taken at Mid-County, and then next steps that I have seen others take. And what I want you to do is I want you to take that this week. I'm going to as well, and I want you to write down those cards, these things that you've seen taken or that you've taken in your life, the things you've seen others take. Don't include a lot of names on there, because what I want you to do next week is I want you to come back, and we're going to have a table in the back that I want you to set those cards on, and I want you to be able to look and see from others' perspective all the things that God has done. Because in the midst of the storm, he's still there. In the midst of the storm, we still have to refocus and realign on him. And so as we do this week, I want you to take that, and then the next couple of weeks as we meet, I want you to take those things and look at them. We'll leave them there, and then I want to do something to where we compile them and send them out, but also keep them to just see and praise God for what he's done. Because like what it says in verse 32, or 33, then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Friends, we're here. We've seen what Jesus has done. We've witnessed a miracle. We've witnessed things happening and next steps being taken and things that have been done. And in this moment of the storm, I would just invite you this week to begin to try to look beyond the waves. Let me pray for you and for me. God, we come now, and Lord, we just ask that you would be with us. And you are. Just pray that we could feel you, that we would seek you, that we would trust you. God, that we would realize that your plans for us, for this place, are good. And God, I pray that as we think through what's next and just process all the things that are happening, that we would see you in front of us. That we'd be able to look beyond the wind, as it's there and it's hard. And it's difficult. But God, I pray in the midst of this that you would give us peace. And also, God, I pray that you would just reignite our lives with the mission. And though it's going to look different at this point, there are still people that are sick here. And we as a church still need these relationships and this influence and this community. And so God, continue to work. Continue to show us what you're doing. Continue to let us see the miracles that are happening here, the things and the next steps that people are taking, the life change that we're able to see. And God, just encourage us as we walk through the midst of this storm. Lord, we love you and we trust you. In your name we pray. Amen.